Tonight on Arena, celebrating Eddie Van Halen and his guitar, and Jaime Martín of the RT National Symphony Orchestra on Music in a Time of Pandemic. #51551 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. Fans of rock music worldwide were greeted with the very sad news yesterday when it emerged that guitar legend Eddie Van Halen had lost his battle with throat cancer and died at the age of 65. He was the leader of the rock band to which he gave his name, Van Halen. The band's first album was released in 1978, and by the mid-1980s they were one of the biggest bands of the era, providing a defining sound for the emerging MTV. As a guitarist, Eddie Van Halen was so technically gifted as to be almost peerless. And in a moment, we'll be talking to a true fan, fellow guitarist Ray Harmon, about just how good Van Halen was, Eddie Van Halen was, and the legacy that he leaves. But first of all, let's go right back to the first album and take a listen to Eddie Van Halen's virtuosity. This is track 2 on the album. And just think of how mesmerised music fans you must have been at the time. This track is, appropriately enough, it's called Eruption. What an extraordinary sound that is, even now in 2020. But let's go back to 1978 and think about how unusual it was. Guitarist and composer Ray Harmon is with me now to look back at the legacy of Eddie Van Halen, whose guitar playing we just heard there in that track, Eruption. When you think, Ray, of 1978, we're talking punk in the village with New York, with Blondie. We think disco or Bruce Springsteen, maybe metal music. It was kind of in a transition phase at the time. Where did Eddie Van Halen and that style of guitar playing that we just heard, where did he fit into that, all of that, or did he fit in?
I still listen to that. Even now, I still listen to it with my jaw open and wiping drool off the floor. It's incredible. It wasn't in a period of transition, but I always think about that in the sense that great bands, they always know they're great, you know, and Van Halen at that stage, they were well aware that they had this prodigy in the corner who was capable of incredible things. And even though disco and punk were going on at the same time, they were the sort of band who just toured and toured relentlessly, and they built up this, built up these really strong crowds, and they would play 5,000-seater, before they even had record deals, they'd be playing 5,000-seater venues in their hometown. They just knew they were good. Mm. They just played on through.
Yeah, and Eddie started the band with his brother Alex, who was the drummer. And then I suppose in the mid-70s, you got the lineup that was there for quite a while. David Lee Roth on vocals, Michael Anthony on bass, and then Sammy Hagen would come along a little bit later on. Eddie started actually in the world of classical music. There was a classical music background in his family. And I think it was Stuart Clark or maybe Gavin Jennings in Morning Ireland this morning were talking about, you know, it went from Mozart and Bach, but the minute he heard Jimmy Page, everything changed.
Yeah. Fascinating thing about them is the two brothers, Alex and Eddie, were born and moved to the States at the age of 7 and had no English and moved into a school in Pasadena. And they apparently 3 years in a row, they won this particular piano competition between Alex and Eddie. And their father was a professional musician, right? Yeah, but then originally Eddie started playing drums and Alex was playing guitar, and they switched instruments.
The mind boggles at that. Was he 7 or 8 when they moved to America? And did he? I don't think he had a word of English when he arrived. Did he?
No, they had no English. They had no English, and they were fairly destitute as well. Apparently, the family would supplement their father's income by playing gigs, weekends, and so on. So they learned their chops by actually playing with their father. They formed their first bands in high school, two brothers, and it was a very memorable name of a band. I'm trying to remember it now. It was called the Trojan Rubber Company, I think, was one of their first bands, and then before they formed Mammoth, and then went on to form Van Halen with Dave Lee Roth.
How important was, you know, I mentioned in my introduction the fact that they were kind of, and Poster Boys is too strong a word, but they were certainly, they grew as MTV grew. How important was that, the time that Van Halen came to fruition and the arrival of MTV? How did they feed into each other?
It was pretty symbiotic, as it was for a lot of bands at that time, like Dire Straits and The Police and countless other bands. They did it really well, though. You know, they absolutely embraced it, and they made so amazing, amazing videos. Very entertaining. I mean, Hot for Teacher is still a jaw dropper. You know.
Yes,
they were great at it.
They knew how to shock slightly. Although they were kind of, well, certainly Eddie was very much thought of as the clean living, happy smiling. Not really the rock. He didn't really have that kind of mad rock star personality, or outwardly, at any rate.
No, I believe he was the sort of the techno nerd in the band, and just loved making music. And it's interesting, you know, he's virtuosic, but I actually think one of his often overlooked incredible talents is his rhythmic and melodic ability. He had this, even though he was just, you know, dazzling with this, with the technical stuff he could do. Yeah. He could come up with these amazing earworms that people will still be playing and singing and trying to play in music shops for 50 years from now. You know, he had a really unusual melodic ability. He wrote great hooks.
Yeah, and I suppose he had a good starting point in his collaboration with Michael Jackson. How did the beat, it fits in with the MTV era in some ways, because there was a lot of criticism early on with MTV about diversity and the absence of black music in what they were doing on their videos. How did the collaboration with Michael Jackson on Beat It then, where Eddie Van Halen plays the guitar solo, how did that come about?
I believe that came about as a request from Quincy Jones, which I think originally Eddie Van Halen thought it was a prank, so he didn't realize. So he went along, and the guitar player from Toto was involved in the whole thing as well. So he went along, and he did it as a favor, apparently. And also, when he was there, when Michael Jackson went out of the room to do something else, he asked him to change the arrangement so that he could play in such a way, you know, the arrangement would suit his playing. It's incredible. He did it for free. He didn't think anybody would hear of it. The irony is that apparently Thriller kept 1984, the Van Halen album, off the number one spot.
Wow, yeah, there is an irony in that for sure. And the fact that he played this solo, which you're about to hear in Beat It, he played it and got paid nothing. There we go, Eddie Van Halen and the guitar solo from the Michael Jackson song Beat It, and Ray Harmon speaking to me about Eddie Van Halen tonight after the announcement of his death at the age of 65. We hear the brilliance of the playing there, absolutely, Ray, and I know you guitar players now love to noodle and love to get caught up in techniques and all the rest of it, but could, for the layman, could you tell us, in terms of technicalities, what was it that Eddie Van Halen did that people weren't doing previous to that? People talk about the tapping technique, but it wasn't so much that he invented that, it was what he did with it. Tapping being using your left hand to hit the neck of the guitar rather than strumming or using a plectrum down in the body or at the bridge of the guitar.
Yeah, it's almost like he wanted to play the guitar like a piano in that sense. He wanted to use the fretboard more. So it is a really difficult thing to do. It's incredibly difficult to do. There were loads of people doing it already. I mean, Paganini was doing it on violins and guitars. And I think, like, even just in the 60s and 70s, there were a lot more bands doing it, like Canned Heat. And he would have seen those playing in L.A. and the Whiskey and so on. So he would have been aware of the technique. He would have been practicing it at home. But he just somehow consolidated it into this amazing, powerful band that where so many things came together, the great tunes, the brilliant front man, and these incredible, simple riffs, you know. And it's surprisingly a lot of Van Halen songs, most of them, apart from the solos, are actually fairly simple to play, you know, for a lot of guitarists. So tapping was one thing. He had this incredible, he had this unusual technique where he held his plectrum between his thumb and his middle finger as opposed to his first finger, so that he left his first finger to tap. He also had an incredibly fast tremolo with his right hand, which is another thing. He also had like other things that he did with amplifiers and pickups. He was one of the first people to dip his pickups in wax to stop feedback and so on. And he even owned some patents for guitar hardware.
Yeah, so there was all that technical, as you said, the noodling side of things that he liked as well. How will you remember him, Ray? What is it that you will miss most and that you think about most on the time of his death?
I really loved the first one particularly. Puts me in good humour when I'm driving and I put it on. From watching interviews with him, he seemed like the loveliest, most down-to-earth man. So, rock and peace, Eddie.
Yeah, rock and peace, Eddie. Nicely put. That's Ray Harmon speaking to us about Eddie Van Halen on Arena this evening. And 1984, Thriller may have kept it off the top spot. It did okay, though. I think a couple of million. Is that what we were talking about in terms of sales? 10 million in terms of sales just being said into my ear. 10 million. So they did okay, even without taking Thriller off the top spot. So let's go to that era-defining album, 1984, and a song that you'll recognise the minute you hear the first chord. And you know what? That's Eddie Van Halen on keyboard there as well. He played the keyboard and guitar in that song Jump from 1984. And Ray Harmon was with us earlier on, remembering Eddie Van Halen, who died at the age of 65.